great privilege to be in the Volta. I desired it for a long time. And God gave us the opportunity to stand on the land. I believe that that land will never remain the same. Something is determined to happen in the nation of Ghana. And you and I are part of it in the name of Jesus. And so we ask that you show us mercy one more time. That the hand of your mighty spirit might be stretched forth over this gathering. Oh, let the dew of your presence rest. And we ask, oh God, that you would take the glory even tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. God bless you. On Friday, was it Friday or Thursday? Yes, I made a statement here. I said, Jesus never raised a pastor. Jesus never raised a teacher. Jesus never raised a prophet. Jesus never raised an evangelist. He raised only apostles. And it was deliberate because he, by so doing, wanted the church to be established on apostolic cultures, apostolic foundations, apostolic ideals. And every time we begin to migrate away from our apostolic roots, Babylon begins to enter into our midst. We begin to function like Babylon. We begin to function like Egypt. So we will need to take some time to explore our apostolic roots. It will give you an understanding of whether or not we are consistent or we are in compliance with the prescription that the Lord has given us. It's not every place where you find people clapping hands that Jesus is present. And so we want to do some Bible work here to excavate the relics of our foundation in the labors of the apostles. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. My joy is that we have a place like this now. So when you receive the signal, hallelujah, because we can hop in, and for 14 days we are trying to explore before we hop out. I celebrate God for this venue that we have secured. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. I think we can't go beyond verse 8 for tonight. So what I want to teach us is in chapter 2. But we can't go beyond verse 8 for tonight. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We'll stop there today. But by the time we come back tomorrow, you will get the full picture of what we are trying to build. I trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus. One of the things that Jesus noticed when he was about to be received into the heavens, having completed the work of redemption and satisfying the claims of divine justice, he had, by reason of his work, established a legal premise that will occasion the possibilities of I hope to, may the Lord give me simpler words. Now watch this. If a spiritual thing is supposed to be permanent, perpetual, it must be standing on a legal foundation. Like you find a generational curse traveling from one generation to another generation, there must be something legal that is supporting that transfer. And so the devil may have been able to secure a transaction from somebody that was in that bloodline, and on the strength of that transaction, he begins to perpetuate the implication of curses along generations. What happened on the cross was a legal statement. The legal statement that took place on the cross was intended to satisfy the claims of divine justice and the requirement of the justice system of heaven concerning the rebellion of the day that you eat of this fruit, in dying ye shall surely die. That's how it's written in Hebrew. Are you with me? So the implication of that act of rebellion from the perspective of the justice system of heaven was punishable by death. And so Jesus had to come satisfy the claims of divine justice. Because the claim of justice was that there must be death. Are you there? Right. So you must understand that there are two parameters I need to reveal to us. First parameter is love, which is what we see in the book of John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, hold on, stay with me. I'm a principal of a great company. My son happens to gain admission into that same college. And part of the items on the prospectus is that there is a certain vase in the center of the school, maybe like this vase now. And it's been there since the inception of the school. And the reason why it never got broken is because on the prospectus it is written that if you break the vase, you are going to pay 20,000 Ghana cedis. In view of this knowledge, whereas there are very troublesome people on the campus, they avoided that vase until my own son got admission. He was the one that broke it. Now listen to me. Are you here? According to the law, the implication of that fault is that 20,000 Ghana cedis must be paid. And the moment our son broke it, my wife now ran to me and said, you know, we love this guy. Can't we do something? Can't we help? I said, yeah, we'll help. But the way we'll help is this. I have to pay from my account. That was the story of redemption. The claims of divine justice require that a man will have to die. And this man must be such a man that is not guilty of the same offense. The offense that Adam committed happens to be an offense that was inheritable. So every man that was born of woman was already guilty of that offense, even though they had not committed the same kind of offense that Adam committed. This my talk now, I'm in Romans chapter 5. That's the content of Romans chapter 5. Are you with me? All right. So every man born of a woman already has that error imputed unto him. A mutation had taken place. And so God had to crystallize a man that had nothing to do with the seed of man. God had to crystallize a man that had everything to do with the seed of God and the woman. So the arrangement of inheritance from man was cut off in the case of Jesus. He was, according to the prophecy in the Garden of Eden, he was the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman is the seed of God and the woman. So that was how Jesus was conceived, so that he would not be a partaker in the sin that was in Adam, in order for him to qualify to be such a personality that has the capacity to satisfy the claims of divine justice. So the height of the calling that Jesus had was going to culminate in his sacrifice. His sacrifice was going to provide the legal premise upon which the Lord can stand to implement his organic policy. And his organic policy is what we have in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 10. So give me that scripture quickly so that you get the background. Romans 5:10 shows us a graphic picture of the two sides of our redemption. The first side of our redemption happens to be the legal side. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. Stay with me. Stay. Just let your heart come back from where it went to and just stay here. Alright? Now, the Bible says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. That's the legal side. We were enemies, but on the strength of what Jesus did, something called reconciliation took place. It means that the quarrel that we had with God was satisfied in the death of Jesus' death on the cross, was satisfied. It means that God now has the opportunity through that death to implement what he had in mind for man that Adam could not receive because of the fall. Are you here? It means, therefore, that the agenda of God stopped the moment Adam rebelled. Every other thing that God did from the time that Adam rebelled and the time that Jesus was made manifest was God trying to preach to us through signs, through patterns, through stories, he was trying to preach to us what he intends to do. But that which he had in mind to do, he could not do until Jesus showed up. So this is the continuation of the garden. When Jesus paid the price to satisfy the claims of divine justice, then the legal premise was satisfied. Then he afforded God the opportunity to make us sons of God. And that can only happen when we become participants in the divine nature. So the Bible says that the moment we were reconciled to God, it says, how much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Salvation is a huge matter, and I don't want to delve into that. You think that salvation is all about what was done on the cross and your own act of faith to actualize and to make your personal property that which grace is offering. That's what you think salvation is all about. There is an aspect of salvation that is not, it is based on the workings of the life of God. There are stages of it. But I don't have time for that. It's a long journey. There is an aspect of salvation that will be effected by God's life in you. It's on the strength of God's life that an organic work begins in your vessel. There is a way you think as when you were an unbeliever. The day you gave your life to Christ, you still think like that. You still have the propensities to do the same things you were doing when you were an unbeliever. But there's a working of God that is in your spirit, man, and it is beginning to build as long as you keep yielding and keep pressing into God. What is taking place in you is what we call a renewing. It is when you become renewed that you begin to function like a new creation. That scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, is prophetic. That is the goal. That is not your status. It is the goal. He will begin to renew you by the inner workings of his life until he brings you to a point where you don't think like the person you used to think like previously on the account of the fall. Something you can't explain is organic. It has taken place and there is a transformation. It's as if a new person was created. So I don't have time to press into that. So, are you here? Yes, so the apostles just became saved. And when they became saved, Jesus looked upon them. They were supposed to carry out a kingdom enterprise upon the face of the earth. And the kingdom enterprise that they were going to be saddled with the responsibility of carrying out is global in nature. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This global enterprise. I didn't have the opportunity to look around Accra enough. There are several businesses that are prospering in Accra, but when we got to Volta, the presence of those businesses were not there. The business is strong here, but it's not in the Volta. It's not in the northern region, not in the central region. That's not a good example of the kind of enterprise that we're talking about. Because what God is doing is global in scope. How many of you know Total? Total filling station is global. That's the kind of enterprise that God is talking about. So, but what he bequeathed to the apostles was global in scope. Is that clear? Now, so he looked upon the functionaries that he had on ground, and he knew that these guys cannot prosecute a global enterprise. So what he did was that when he ascended to heaven, he went to heaven. I'm still trying to introduce you to Acts chapter 1. That's what this is my labor now, is to successfully introduce you to Acts chapter 1. When we come for Bible study, it will be 7 days. This week we're just doing preliminaries, trying to get you to like the word of God. That's what we're trying to do. But when we start real scripture, I will show you what happens to a man when he dies from this world. The snapshots of the afterlife. We're going into the concrete works of Bible doctrine. Things that pastors run away from because they don't study the Bible. It's easy to say you will prosper next week. You receive a phone call, something will happen. That's not how Apostle Paul preached. Christianity is not an attempt to give men false hope. It's a life. If that life develops, it will dominate. You don't need to pray for it to dominate. That's the nature. And if we are still underdogs in Africa, it means that life has not developed in us. The natural resultant effect of the development of that spiritual capital that you were given is that it will produce the dominion. And that is, it will produce it by default. It's not as if you will do something. That is the resultant effect. When the mustard seed grows, it will dominate. And a lot of things will find relevance just because it is standing there as a tree. That's what we're talking about. God did not design any failure. But you see, the extent of influence you will have in the earth is to the degree to which you have allowed that seed to grow and influence your space. So Jesus looked upon them and he knew these guys can't prosecute a global vision. So what he did was that he ascended into the heavens and applied for leave, casual leave. This leave that he applied for was for 40 days. I've started teaching Acts chapter 1. I know you don't believe that it's in the Bible. All right. So let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 3, so that I show you that what I'm saying is from the Bible. Then when you are comfortable, we'll start the job. The Bible says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So he went to heaven. Then he applied for casual leave. He said, I need 40 days to do something on this guy. These guys cannot power a global enterprise. So I need to organize a capacity building forum so that I can distill the truths of the apostolic culture. And the apostolic culture is global in scope, it's universal. What I want to teach you here, if you take it to the northern region to work, if you take it to Togo to work, take it to Benin Republic to work, take it to South Africa to work. That's the thing about the apostolic foundations that we have. There is no culture that can resist it successfully. You just ensure that the wheel is turning and the enemies of the gospel will submit eventually. It's not emotional. These are tested principles that were downloaded from heaven. The master himself, the great teacher, had to take leave to come conduct a seminar. Are you still with me? What I'm trying to do here is to distill the object of the seminar that Jesus had to take the apostles through in order for him to groom them in the ways of prosecuting the global enterprise. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now you understand what I'm trying to do. First thing I would like to say about this seminar, because we need to find the theme of the seminar. What was the seminar about? It's right there in verse 3. The Bible says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So the theme of the seminar is what? The things. Oh, you are not with me. Let's try again. The what? The things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus had just 40 days. And the only thing he spoke about were things that pertain to the kingdom of God. You would have expected him to speak about success, because that's what we've been speaking about for the past 35 years in the body of Christ. Or prosperity. And imagine, we preached prosperity for 25 years and we could not get the richest man in Africa from the church. Think about it. Oh, you are not with me. You are not with me. You are not with me. For 25 years, you will make it. Something with them. And for 25 years, a son of the bond woman is still carrying the flag of the richest man in Africa. Think about that. You know why? That was not what Jesus, the grace he released for the global enterprise, that's not the object of it. Do you understand that? That's why our preaching didn't produce the richest man in Africa. We veered off the path. I don't have time. If we would have reached Acts chapter 6, I would have x-rayed Africa, the African church. It's there in Acts chapter 6. But the Lord will help us. The Lord will. The Lord will see us through. 25 years of powerful declarations. 25 years of prophecy. That next week something will. You know what happened to us? We forgot our apostolic roots and started trying to look for what is not lost. And when you are looking for what is not lost, you will never find it. The burden of the Lord for this hour in the body of Christ is to bring every believer back to our apostolic roots. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's get it right. This book called the Bible, I forgot my other jotter back in Nigeria. The theme of this book is the kingdom of God. I will show you from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, till the book of Revelation. I summarize the Bible. The theme of, yes. You know why? We'll be novices for long. If somebody wants to serve a God in the northern region, they take years of training to understand the God. You will need a mentor. It's not as if you go into the forest and come back after 7 years and say, I found a God. No. There must be, there is mentorship in the matter. Because if you are going to serve Satan, it's on the currency of accuracy. Most of the juju men that died early, it was in violation of a certain instruction that they died. You are not with me? When the juju comes and says, you will do this, this is what, and then you do something else, it will make you crippled. And the reason why compliance in the kingdom of darkness is achieved is because Satan doesn't have mercy. He's a tyrant. So they know that if they violate him, So the kingdom of darkness, there is some order in the kingdom. And it thrives on accuracy. But in Christianity, we don't even know the will of our king. And we are just moving like that. It is going to be dangerous for our own generation not to understand the creed of our God. And that's why we need to go back to the basics and find our heritage from the scriptures so that the least among us can become as strong as David. That's the reason for my labor. You see, one of my sons came to me and said, those days I was still on cable TV. And he said he watched a service now on cable. And the music was good. The colors were well blended. The suit the man of God was wearing was intact. It synchronized with the texture of his tie. And he was looking real good. And then when my own program came, I was fighting. So he wanted to find out, what are you fighting about? So I told him, I said, young man, I'm fighting for your generation. That's what I'm fighting. I'm fighting for the restoration of our faith. I'm fighting to secure our belief system. There was something that our ancestors believed that made them the way they were. We will need to find it. If not, Christianity will lose meaning. We don't even have a political voice. When they do campaigns, they don't consult us anymore. We are becoming more and more irrelevant within the context of the societies where we find ourselves. And the reason is because of departure from the tenets of the creed of our ancestors. The most noble labor that I believe I can bequeath to the earth is to rediscover these golden signposts of our heritage. So that was the explanation I gave the young man. I said, okay, if that's the case, we'll all fight with you. I pray you will fight with me. In the name of Jesus. So the theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God. The Bible is not a book of success. Even though there are principles of success in it, but it's not a book of success. The Bible is not a book of prosperity. Even though he has not called the sons of Jacob to serve him in vain. The Bible is not a book of holiness. Even though in the Bible and in the kingdom, it happens to be that the spirit that we have received, which is the basis of our spiritual capital, is called Holy Spirit. And the laws of God derive from the nature of God. So if you are going to function in the laws of God, you will draw the capacity to keep pace with the demands of the laws of God from the nature of God. So God cannot be a holy God and you will now be an unholy man. There's going to be a conflict. The Holy Spirit is going to revolt in your heart. Are you still with me? Oh, you are not with me. But the book called the Bible is not a book of holiness. Even though in the kingdom, holiness is a very mighty molecule. The book called the Bible is the book of the kingdom. The book of how God rules. If you were with us in the Volta, I taught the people. I said, God comes with power, but he rules by authority. Adam modeled the principle of rebellion, but Jesus modeled the principle of obedience. Indicative of the fact that what you stumbled in through faith in Jesus Christ, you are going to maintain by obedience to Jesus Christ. You will stop growing in the Lord when you are no longer obedient to him. And the Holy Ghost is not going to be powerful in your vessel except you consider him such a personality worthy of being obeyed. And for your information, Jesus sleeps in boats conveniently, and he can snore in the boat. That means Jesus can sleep in your life and snore, and there's no evidence of him around you. You are exposed to the storm of witchcraft is manipulating you. Your promotions are cut off. Even marriage is a challenge because Jesus can sleep in the boat. What will make Jesus active in your own boat is that you submit to his authority. He is going to come. He will answer for you when the storms come to get you. So what you entered in upon by faith, you are going to grow in. How? By obedience. That's just a word for the wise. So the theme of the conference that Jesus took the casual leave to come set up are the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Second thing I'd like you to notice before we go to the matter. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't mind. The devil. Hallelujah. Second matter is, what's the gate fee? The gate fee for the seminar. I hear in Ghana, some seminars, church seminars, you need to pay money to access seminar. So I want to check for the gate fee here. Am I saying the truth? You need to pay some CDs and say, yeah, I'm just trying to register my intention of participating in a seminar. So you drop some CDs. It happens to be that in Jesus' seminar, the gate fee is free. However, it's not for everybody. Even though it's free, it is not for everyone. You need to qualify to attend the seminar. How do you qualify? The Bible says in verse 3. It said, to whom? What did Jesus do? He showed himself alive after his passion. Listen to me. You will not be admitted into the seminar that Jesus is conducting if you have not encountered living Christ. I'll explain that. I'm sure the other mic I use is not better than this. What is the challenge? Please restore my mic. Restore my mic. The anointing won't come tonight except we go into the mind of God. Hallelujah. Many of you don't know, but I was born a stammerer, a very terrible stammerer. I was the next thing to being dumb because I could not speak. And if I'm supposed to make a statement in the class, I'll keep hitting the table because that's the way I can find my reading. And it came to pass after a while that the Lord spoke to me. I had an encounter with God, and in the encounter, he revealed that I was born to be a preacher. long encounter, but I don't have time for. Four angels came to bring that message to me. Can you go on strings just quietly? I've missed two windows already. Quietly. Not so much. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Oh. So, I was dumb. Could not speak. The angels that came to visit me, they were high, high into the heavens. When I attempt to look upon them, they become so far in the clouds. But when I decide not to look upon them, I can see them by the side of my eye. They are my height. Among them, there was this one that had a slim face, and he came with a scroll, and he read it to me. The content of the scroll was that I was supposed to die at the age of 13. And my mother confirmed that, being a nurse, you know, a medical person. But the battle was fought. And the battle was for 6 hours, human time. It was those four angels that fought the battle. And because they won, my life was extended. So, the angels... That will take our time. The angel with the slim face now read to me from the books of the heavenlies. How many of you have read the book of Daniel chapter 7, where he spoke about the courtroom and the procedure and proceedings in the court of heaven? It's consistent with books. Until those books are open, no judgment will be issued. I have had encounters with the books of heaven. It was while reading one of those books, the scroll that had my name, that I found I was called to be a preacher. And I spoke with the angel. I said, why will you say that a man that cannot speak will preach the gospel? Those were the days I did not know the way of angels. They are very difficult to appease. And that angel stopped reading. Folded the scroll. And then shouted. The shout of that angel is what human beings call thunder. It blasted through the sky. It was the energy that came from that thunder that brought me back into my physical body. And my mom was struggling to resuscitate me. She didn't know I was in the other side for 8 hours. I'd gone, I've left this world. And then that thing that happened was what brought me back. And I knew I was called to be a preacher, but my inability to speak was still with me for many, many years. And it came to pass that I held a fast, a long, long fast, and laid upon the altar. And I cried to God, since you want me to preach, at least open my tongue. He gave me a scripture. He didn't touch my tongue, but he gave me a scripture. And the scripture read, as for thee, this is the covenant that I have with you. I have put my words in your mouth, and in the mouth of thy seed, and in the mouth of thy seed seed. That means I know that at least two generations of preachers will come from my loins. I now found out that if God had smuggled his counsel into my mouth, it is no longer my business how it comes out. What I labor to do is to secure the word of the Lord, and God will make arrangements on how I will communicate. That's how I started. So I prayed for long to get what was on the mind of God. And when I get it and stand by the pulpit, I will speak fluently. And when I step out of the pulpit, all the symptoms of stammering will come back. And I continued like that. And over time, the stammering began to weaken. until my vocal powers were restored. I was chatting with my siblings the day I got to Ghana. And I was telling them, how many of them remember that I was dumb? They say, yeah. When we hear you preach, we are afraid. Because we know you have no voice. The Bible says, to whom he showed himself alive, it was the living Christ that gave me vocal capacity. And any man that has not yet encountered the living Christ as living and active will never be accepted into the seminar. It is free, but it's not for all. You know the challenge we have today? So many people that don't know the living Christ are preaching him. So they raise business churches where it's about a system by which funds can come in. So we rate a service on the strength of the income that came. So there is a very smart procedure. Because those of you that have worked in the bank, you know what it means. In your eyes, men are digits. Hallelujah. Never seen the risen Christ. Never seen him. That's why our scale of measurement will be measurements of this world. We don't know how the stars are set in their courses in the galaxies. Because the metaphor that was used to depict the man of God is a star, according to the book of Revelation chapter 1. And the stars are the messengers to the churches. Luminaries held in the galaxies of God. That's the description of one that speaks from God. He's speaking from the realm of God. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So, the qualification for you to be admitted into the seminar that Jesus took 40 days of casual leave to put up is that you must have encountered him alive. Now, this living Jesus I'm talking about, it's not as if you will go for Sunday school, then they will teach you about him. The requirement is not knowing doctrinally that Jesus is alive, but knowing by encounter that he's alive. Because the Bible says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, not by doctrine, by encounter. So a man that has not yet had an encounter with the living Christ, what changed the course of Saul of Tarsus was that he encountered one that was known widely to have died. He encountered him alive. So the Bible says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. If I stand on the pulpit and I have utterance to speak, I know he's alive today. Because I know how I was born. I was smart in terms of mental capacity, but he was a smart, dumb guy. Until Jesus decided to show himself alive, and something I was not born with began to manifest in my life on the strength of an encounter that I had with God. So many of you are in depression because you were born in a certain way that was not advantageous, and you fell. You were born in Greater Accra. You were not the eastern region that is quiet and dark. You felt you would have been one of the children of the politicians. Oh my God. What I'm talking about here is not what you were born with or how you were born, is what you encountered. You can totally, utterly be changed by an encounter with the living Christ. And if you have not had that, Jesus will not admit you into the seminar, because it will be a waste of investment. Christianity dies when men never know him that rose. And I came to tell you, he's alive and he's well. Oh, the last time I saw him was in Volta a few days ago. He showed up. Showed up and said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Just go and act it. So I came to the stage. People thought I was a powerful man. I was acting what he showed me. I like that kind of acting. As long as he's in a book, as long as he's on the cross, as long as he's in a grave, you are powerless. But when you see him alive, then a new paradigm is open to you, a new possibility is available to you. And that's why I don't wear crosses. Crosses. He's not there. He left the cross long time. Why are you still? What are you doing with that thing? He's no longer there. Just like the guys that went to check for him in the tomb. If you are still comfortable with the cross, it means you are like them that went to look for him in the tomb. And education, heaven had to sponsor education there instantly. Why look ye for the living among the dead? You see. He's alive. And I've seen his shape. And I've heard his voice. I remember I preached so much one year, 2009. And then my brother-in-law, he was working with he was one of the powerful people in government then. He was so impressed by my conviction about the things of God. And he wanted to find out how to help me. One of the things he did for me was, you know, those days in the 80s, early 90s, internet was not available everywhere. So, but he had internet services in his house. Yeah, so he called me and said, I say you studying stuff. This is where you study. Come, you have access to all the things in the world. That was where I found some guys that know the Bible. And he had a printer attached to his desk. I printed all kinds of stuff. I studied lying down, studied sitting down, studied squatting. And I studied like that for 10 years. I know what Apostle Paul preached. I know what, after Paul it was, what's the name of that other guy? Oh, Jesus, help me. Okay. Well, 2,000 years down the road, I studied what the church preached. So I know where your false doctrine came from. I can tell you history. I can tell you with accuracy. I studied doctrine in the body of Christ for 2,000 years. 10 years I was locked up. My hunger for the word of God was unequaled. Then after that 10 years, the guy now showed up and said, yeah, I see you've made some progress. Now, I'm just telling you, that guy influenced me most in my calling. My elder sister's husband. I know he will hear this. I've never said it before. He gave me a ticket. Paid for my ticket to Dubai. Said, now that you have been studying, go and pray for 2 weeks in Dubai. So I landed there 2 a.m. in the morning. Checked into my hotel room. I was too hungry. I went to the restaurant. I said, what do you guys have here? Oh, one Indian was there. We said, we have all kinds of food here. Oh, great. Then he came with a menu card. And all the food was, the items were written in the Indian language. So I had to use word of knowledge to pick one. When they brought that thing, it was looking like rice, but it was green. The color was so attractive. I rushed it. But it tasted like Royco, Maggi. I called the man. I said, what is this? He said, this thing is drug. That is a healthy food. It's drug. If you eat it, if you are sick, you'll be healed. I said, I'm not sick. What I want is food. I didn't know that Jesus did not want me to eat. So when I was so disappointed, I left the table and came back to the room. The moment I stepped into the room, Jesus walked through the wall. Then I knelt down. Then the fires began to burn. Then he spoke to me for 9 seconds. He said, the youth, use the power of sight I've given you to deliver them from destruction, and I will open the gates of nations to you. He said this to me in, what year was that? 2009. Are you with me? Say this to me. From 2009, I started hopping from campus to campus, preaching to the youth the message of the kingdom and demonstrating the power of God. I would jump to this campus, travel in the night sometimes to get to some places. I did that from 2009. And in 2019, that's how many years? 10 years. Jesus came back. He said, you have fulfilled that call. Now the time to go to the nations has come. Go and resign your job. He asked me to resign my job when I was to transit into the manager cadre, where I will now start having pot belly and speak with baritone. Oh my God. People thought I had gone nuts. I was crazy. I hopped from every campus. And that's why I'm still convenient. It's still convenient for me. If I slip into a campus for 4 days, there'll be revival there. Even the sons of the bond woman will speak in tongues. I've seen that before. In a place called Sokoto in Nigeria. I was preaching. And the sons of the bond woman is in a lecture hall. People were getting healed. Blind eyes were opening. So they started entering, claiming that they want to read. And then the power of God came like a bomb. You can't understand what I'm talking about. Like a bomb. The sons of the bond woman were slain. In fact, somebody that insulted me became dumb instantly. Have you ever seen the presence of God that makes somebody dumb? I've seen it. Couldn't speak. They had to come beg. I said, no, the one that made you dumb is separate from me. They said, it's you that brought him. Help us. They begged. And I spoke with the great one. I said, oh, if you leave me in this condition, they will think our gospel is all about vengeance. Open this. The person began to speak. That sign left a crack on that campus. It was Jesus who is alive as Saul. What I preach is not empty letters. I preach and I bring perspective to the voice of the one I saw. The meaning of 10 years of my life was what he told me for 9 seconds in Dubai. To whom he did what? He showed himself alive after his passion. By many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I'm here today in Ghana. Should I tell you why? Okay. I went to Brazil. And from South Africa, Johannesburg, to Sao Paulo, Guarulhos Airport in Brazil is 10 hours, 50 minutes. Your time clock, you will lose it. You will sleep when men are awake. And you will be awake when men are asleep. So I lost my time clock. And I was awake when I was supposed to be snoring. So I converted those moments to prayer. And when I began to pray, I didn't know it was an invitation. I passed into the heavens. And I saw men. They were like curtains. And the angel that stood by my side was educating me. He said, those are the spirits of the just men made perfect. I said, this is how they are. Into the heavens. And he said, this one is John Knox. I said, oh, John Knox. And I heard what they were saying. They were standing before the throne of God, and they were demanding from God the things that God said they would do when they interceded upon the face of the earth. They have not yet seen it. So they were demanding from heaven. That was how Abraham was summoned. A committee was put in place. Abraham and Joel, those are the two I could recognize, to sit in a committee and respond to the demands of those men. Oh my. Are you with me? Angels were allocated to this committee, and one of the angels was given a yellow lamp. And then the angel shined the lamp on Africa. If your head is carrying yellow, it means you are one of the chosen. And when he shined the lamp on Africa, I saw that there were no yellows. When they finished the search, only 6 men came out. I tell you this today because I have released to speak. There are secrets I have seen, things I have seen that I will die with. Fortunately, by the mercy of God, I was among the 6. No, you're already trying to put me into trouble. Okay, the story has ended. Hold yourself together. I didn't come to advertise. No. Never. I was in the oil industry. I was doing real, real good. I was good at my job. When I tendered my resignation, they rejected it the first time. So I was okay. I had enough money to do anything I wanted to do. So I'm not here to advertise. When 6 people, the identities of the other people are not known to me. But Abraham began to speak. We're on a queue. Then he said to me, you will go to Ghana. You will go to South Africa. You will go to the United Kingdom. That's why I'm in Ghana. The moment it was heralded from there, the door to access Ghana opened. I know there are many preachers, because when I started traveling to some nations to preach, I know preachers come to me and say, can you create connections for us? Just talk to the pastors that, you know, that there's somebody burning, too much fire here, but no, nothing to burn. So you just make the doors available so that we can go proclaim the kingdom. Marika Santoria Marai. Those kind of people that open doors for themselves, they are not on the schedule. Because time is one of the things that God will use to prove you if you are a kingdom man. I'm here because it was proclaimed. You will go to Ghana. This is the same Lord that came to me and said, if you are faithful doing that youth stuff. In fact, someone even insulted me on Facebook and said, campus apostle. But you see, I'm not ashamed of it. It is the great monarch that assigned me to go there. Today, people now realize that the wisest thing I did was to go to the campus. Because they are malleable. They are hungry. So I had people to teach. And in the next 5 years, 7 years, in the next 9 years, I saw transformation in the lives of men. And it began to hit society. I don't need to go. Do you understand? The Bible says, to whom he showed himself alive. Have you seen him that is alive? Or the last time you saw him was on the cross. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He left the cross long time ago. He left the grave. You are still going to Israel to check for the tomb. The status of the tomb was revealed by the angels. Why do you look, seek for the living among the dead?
He's alive. Please help me tell your neighbor, he is alive now. So it was by infallible proofs, undeniable proofs, he showed that he was alive. Because people like Thomas were in that room. The Thomas that was asking to see the place where the nails pierced. So he showed them that he was alive. So that's the first thing. That's the first major dealing that he will bring to you. He will show himself alive to you. Because they can take away from you the coat of many colors. But there is something they can never take away. And that's the encounter that you have. Nothing can take it. Nothing can take it from you. This calling I have, I was persecuted by my parents. If they are hearing now, they will know it's true. I was persecuted by my relatives. But you know what? They could not take it away because it was Jesus that gave me. In fact, there was a time in my family where I was like ostracized. It's meaningless. It's worthless. And that time that they cast me away, it was wonderful moments. Because I zeroed in on Jesus. Fasted. And I was like an AIDS victim. If you see me, you think I'm afflicted. The spirit of infirmity has bested me. But in my spirit was anointed. It was in those days of fasting that I began to see the prophetic screen, where God uses pictures to show me the future. And he taught me how to interpret signs. When I came back to my sister's place and told her that she was going to a nation called Canada, she didn't believe me. But that's where she is now. Because the one I saw was not on the cross. The one I saw was alive. In all your days in church, have you seen him who is alive? Because Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. He said, you have never seen his shape, nor heard his voice. It is possible for you to see his shape. And if you have not seen his shape, you cannot teach doctrine accurately. Because the true doctrine is alive. It's on the lips of the living ones. If we have a theological controversy here, it's an easy thing to do. We'll just tune to him and say, what are you saying in this scripture? And it brings to end every controversy that exists. What he gave us was not just a book. The book he gave us, it will take a spirit to unlock it. But the sons of the woman, bond woman, just have a book. So there are many interpretations of the book. The sons of the bondwoman said the greatest miracle in their faith is the book. That it was never adulterated. 3 years ago, a woman came, of British descent, brought 28 translations of that book, written in the original language that it was written. That's the only miracle that faith claims to have. But as we speak now, it can no longer be verified. And that's the only thing they have. But we have him that is alive. Please, if you forget everything, don't forget that he's alive. The reason why we stay 7 hours in prayer, because I know he's not dead, he will come. I can stay first day, second day, third day, 45th day, 75th day, 112th day. It was 264th day that he showed up. Yes. I was willing to wait because I know the one that gave me the power to speak is not dead. Oh my. I pray tonight that you will make the transition. That you will make the transition. You know, in the book of Acts, there was this guy that was lame. He was at the gate called Beautiful. And he was begging for alms. A believer can actually be there. In a beautiful church. Beautiful pastor. Wonderful service. Good sound. Good colors. Colors are blended. the curtains are looking gray. He is beautiful, but he's lame. It will take apostolic capacity to move that man from the gate into the presence of God. That's a different paradigm altogether, because the possibilities are different from sitting by the gate. There is a migration that must come to the body of Christ, and we must migrate from the gate into the presence of God, and only the living Christ can do that. Hunger for him, thirst for him, call upon his name. He will vitalize your prayer life. It will become an exploration. Just like astronauts explore space, you will begin to explore God. It's not religion, it's living. I live there. I dwell there. And if there's going to be crisis, and I say, Jesus, where are you? He will show up. He will show up. Because he's alive. Your faith life is going to be defective if you don't know that he is alive. It will be difficult for you to believe. When people are believing stuff, you will be rationalizing. And your paralysis will be because of your analysis. He's alive. I want us to celebrate that revelation in a few minutes. The fact that he's alive. It burns in my spirit right now. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. That's what we preach. That's our message to all nations. But the one you thought you killed, what happened was that he was set free. He was locked up in just one body. He could be in just one place. But when he was killed, he was liberated. And any man that believes that he was raised from the dead, he possesses him. Even if that man is calling prayer in the Kaaba, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Ooh, if you know he's alive, then sickness will not have as much authority as he has in your space. He's alive. He's not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He lives. He lives. He lives. Your sorrow, your distress, your afflictions will come to an end when you know that he is alive. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hey! Sinamongama Raikos Kesinele Brisco Falami Skabon Selina Kapelate Bruce Kesesosa. I pray to him that is alive. I pray by him that is alive. Oh, he lives in me. Muresco Velama Naikoselita Breko Satoma Panseli. You can confront anything, any devil, any wizard, any witch, because he is alive. Mao Siko Mele Mao Siko Santeli Shalikombre Eskedele. It will be known in the nation of Ghana that he lives. That he lives. That he lives. Moye koseli. Emi salabo. Emi sasai lambantali. Akoli amakasola. Prekoskele menteria. Ika mesoselami. Braikonska mesukapeli. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's not on that cross. He's not in that tomb. He lives. He lives. And all glory, all splendor has been given unto him. He's been named the Christ. He's been named the Lord. Every must bow to him. He is alive. Subenai kamaya. Meliko soko balatale. Amamaya. Busese kabelose. Bremina kumba. Iskoske molotomo. Braka bekusanale. Iskomanda ye. Peliso kuria mama. Lifting hands, bowing hearts is all we've come to do. Casting crowns, lifting hands, and bowing down is all we come to do.
In your name, Adonai, you reign on high. We will rise in your name, Adonai.
Adonai,
you reign on high. We will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. We will rise.
We give you glory.
In your mighty name, Adonai.
In the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, I cannot continue from this point. Because I just saw a sign right now. The Lord said, He wants to show himself alive in our midst. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In a moment, I want you to make that your prayer. Lord, reveal yourself to me in the next 45 minutes, in the next 20 minutes. Let there be a personal, internalized dimension of your glory revealed in my life. Reveal, 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 reveal yourself in me. Reveal yourself in me. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself. Oseke malamboro kose. Laimo sonde bragadusketa mahalemo. Prokosa mahandeli. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself.
In your name.
The living Christ will come to you. He will put his hands upon your hands. Make you do things that you cannot do. accomplish things through your life. Some things that you don't have the capacity to prosecute. His grace will be at work in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let me. In the name of Jesus. Been in a state of war for a long time, praying for several things to change. And he said these three people have actually been praying amiss. So he wants to give them an equipment. He wants to give them an equipment. This equipment is a revelational gift. A revelational gift that will make them to be able to see the battle that they are fighting, so that they can fight with the tools of accuracy, the tools of precision, the tools of accuracy and precision. There are three of them. There are three of them. I saw Sela Mena Brasketo Mondeli. Roman C. Cabello Coriama. Sabacoria Selicate. Amelo Bronde Casquizo Sela. Membro Coscata Mena Selicon. Vaso se la breco da mandale. There are three of them. Listen, I see someone, when you go to toilet, blood comes out. If you are not ashamed and you can come out, you'll be healed. When you go to toilet, blood comes out. Blood. You see blood.
Ekapata da bega brande rebosi kapayata le kapota de rebosh kapari andahadara bakata rakapate kaponda hakaya ibreka pa ikatoka de kaya sataha akantolobosh kabriyantaya bapa imakabari akarababash kabarabaraba roko poko toka pakataka pakataya anterebe kapakataya katata ragatagas keteribosh ketaha ikabrande kaposh kapa lakapaya papa kataha imbra katakos kapandaha la preko tolobos kapandahaya leke papaya taha ikabrataya boka paraba la popo katekari atakataha ayaka pata kataya kataha rakata kapaya kapa ayaka papa katakaya rekata hata lopo kaponda halabash kapa. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, I command you, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Yeah. 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 You have to come out. 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 In the name of Jesus. Come. 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 In the name of Jesus. Through the mouth, come out. Through the mouth, come out. Come out through the mouth. Come out! I speak life to you. I speak life to you. I speak life to you.
in the name of Jesus. Yeah. The Lord is working on this man. He's working on you. It will take another 30 minutes for him to finish. So, guide him back. Guide him. If you are still here, say amen. There's something the Lord is doing in somebody's stomach. This person I speak about, you went somewhere and the place is polluted, but you didn't know. What happened to you was that you came under an attack and you've been purging. You've been purging since you went there. So if you are not ashamed, come. I pray to stop. You are this purging that has refused to leave. Purging that has refused to leave. So I'm waiting for you. If you are ashamed, no problem. It means it's not a problem. But if you are not ashamed, purging that has refused to leave, come. This is a sign. The person whose hands we hold is a sign to you that you are not alone, because many times you have complained that, oh, I'm alone. But the angel of the Lord will hold your hand now. Will hold your hand. Ushers, if you find the person, you help me bring the person. It will be so tangible, so tangible. So if you find the person, bring the person. Yeah. It's at work, don't worry. It will continue. Oh! Ushers, quickly, I'm waiting for you. No. Father, can you show me this one that you sent this angel as a sign that he or she is not alone? Show me this one. Thank you, Father. Now, I want to release something to you quickly.
Say
when battles rage, a switch will come on and you will know what to do. You will know what to say.
My boss, how are you?
You will know what to do.
Down at your feet.
You will know what to say. You will know what to do. Suddenly, wisdom will come to you, and you will know what to do. You will know what to say. Someone is carrying a chain on your right leg, and the chain will break in the next few seconds. Father, let that chain break. The chain will break in the next few seconds. Let that chain break. Let that chain break. Let that chain break. It is even breaking now as I speak. Let it break. Let it break in the name of Jesus. Let it break in the name of Jesus. I set at liberty. I set at liberty. That one with the chain. That one with the chain. Let it break. Let it break in the name of Jesus. Aiko seli mala korea. Siko balahai zose mahabreskito mahazamana. Let your life be restored to you. In the name of Jesus. Finally, before I run away. You see, I wanted to teach today, but I couldn't teach. I'm in God's hands. It's what He wants that He does. Aikamelo morasiko. Siko, there are four of us. Four of us. The Lord is changing your rank in the ministry of intercession. Yeah, there are four of us. There's a new anointing He will wear on you. He will wear an anointing on you right now, and it's already coming. It's already becoming strong. It's already becoming so strong. He's wearing it. He's wearing it on you. He's wearing it. He's wearing it. He's wearing it on you. He's wearing it. It's a change in the rank. It's a change in the rank. It's a change in the rank. And it's coming stronger. I see a lady. A lady is coming under the influence of that anointing. It's coming so strong. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. Coming stronger, coming stronger. Coming so strong right now. Oh, we give you glory. We give you glory. Sumasetiaka mokonde. Skebroko minasali. Let that grace rest upon you, in the name of Jesus. To whom He showed Himself alive. He showed Himself alive. Showed Himself alive. Help me call her. Call her for me. Yeah, come. Come. Showed Himself alive after His passion. By many fallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I unlock that which is locked. I release you. 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 He showed Himself alive after His passion. By many fallible proofs. He was seen of them 40 days. Come. I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Two prayer points before I run. Okay, okay. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
There's still one of you that is still wearing glasses, that the Lord wants to take your glass. He still wants to do that today. Right? So can we pray? Those of you with glasses, can you remove it for some seconds? You may wish to remove the glasses for some seconds. And then lay your hands on your eyes quickly. There's one among you that he will just fix your eyes for you. He will fix your eyes for you. Fix your eyes. Lord, I bind every blinding spirit in the name of Jesus. Blinding spirit, be bound. In the name of Jesus. Blinding spirit, come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. And I speak to the eye. I see. 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 In the name of Jesus. Remove your hand from your eyes. In the next 12 seconds, be observant. Somebody's eyes will be corrected. The next 12, 13 seconds, your eyes will be corrected. If you are short-sighted, you will begin to see beyond your short sight. If you are long-sighted, you begin to see beyond your long sight. Somebody's eyes will be corrected. Somebody's eyes will be corrected. The moment you notice you are the one, just wave your hand so that I will know you. Somebody's eyes will be corrected. When you notice you are the one, please just wave your hand. When I see that one whose eyes is corrected, then I can say some things before I sit down. Someone's eyes will be corrected. And when you notice that your sight has improved, you just do this. So that I can see you. When I see that sign, then I can say one or two things before I leave. Someone's sight is shifting. When you notice it, as I speak to you now, I know that the person's sight has been corrected. I know it in my heart. So I'm waiting for you. I'll wait for 2 minutes. Then I'll proceed. Someone's sight has been corrected. So I wait for you. I wait for you. As we wait for you, I want to bless somebody. The sight person, I'm waiting for you at the altar area. You can walk out. But while we wait for you, I want to bless a few people. Because God is going to surprise some people in business. They're doing. And then the Lord is going to visit you. Many things will begin to happen that you never planned for 2021. Didn't plan for it. But you begin to see it happen from the month of April. Yes. Some people that are into business and all of that. Say, what is the situation there? I want to know. Her eyes? Yeah. So what was the condition of your eyes before now?
Glaucoma, but I can see clearer now.
Okay, you can see clearer now.
Yes, please.
Now, those of you, hallelujah. Don't worry, it will, let me activate something quickly. Okay. Now, it's the blinding spirit that I'm casting out there. You will see her eyes will be clear now. Don't worry. You know, when a doctor, sometimes they bring this stethoscope, some tools. Those are my tools, you know. Just. I know you like this thing I'm doing. Come, come. If you agree that you will preach, if you agree that when you grow up you will preach, then I'll give you. So it depends on whether you agree. You want to think about it? Okay. Huh? No, don't agree. She's of age. Let her speak first. If you agree that you will preach. You do. You preach.
If the Lord will guide me, I will do it.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, honor my words today. Honor my words today. And put this one in the ministry. Put this one in the ministry. Put this one in the ministry. And let her experience this night a glimpse of your touch. A glimpse of your touch. In the name of Jesus. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Let her experience a glimpse. Just a little glimpse. Of your touch. Aiso seli male braskitome. Boko siga belia mahabraila. Koske falami siko bresko velazila. Jenica brocolia bahase kuske sali. Yes, speak it louder, louder. Kabo, yes, louder, louder. Kabezine akai kompala. Shakaboria si bromole, sheli brosa nali, asasaneklo plokosali, eskimo santeli asikobre, osikobre la babaila. Yes, Lord, put this one in the ministry. Zikobranda baboria. Yes, 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 yes. He will visit you. Esine Salamonde Kilomas. I was your age when he came for me. The same powers he transmitted to me, I transfer to you today. All right, I want to bless you. Just your right hand up. Just your right hand up. Those of you in business, expect a sign. He will visit you, he will turn the tables. It will begin in the month of April. He will turn the tables. He will turn the tables. He will turn the tables. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. You have raised an altar to glorify yourself. Indeed, be glorified. Concerning every family that is represented here tonight, O God, I ask that you show mercy. Show mercy. Show mercy. In the name of Jesus. Let everything that you have not planted be rooted out in the name of Jesus. Let your presence be made manifest. Oria mama hiko, seliko koria barata, si brokonte malia bruka seli, eskobrege de la subhantelia, Roma santa babore, Roma semina. Let the things that were delayed for a long time begin to find expression. Imanso sela braminala. Yes, delays, delays. Let the yoke be broken.
Let the yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. The Lord is removing the yoke from her line. Removing the yoke. Let your presence be in this place continually. As your people call upon your name, make an appearance. Oh, majesty. And glorify yourself. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Sorry, I couldn't teach beyond that point. We'll continue tomorrow.
Let's do it better for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Tomorrow, same time, 4 p.m., we will start the service. So please, tomorrow is a healing night, as announced last Thursday. So please, let's take note. If you know of anyone who is sick, please invite them for the touch of the Holy Spirit. At this point, I want us to take our offering. We want to close early because we know some of you have to go to work tomorrow. In view of that, tomorrow let's be here on time so that we can have enough time for a touch. Please give us a song as we take our offering.